Hello, this is Dave, returning with the News Gazette, dated August 2nd, Sunday, 2020. We'll continue now with the death notices. Robert Ackerman, Gifford. Robert E. Ackerman, 92, of Gifford, went to be with his Lord on Friday morning, July 31st, at Hilltop Skilled Nursing and Rehabilitation Center in Charleston. In accordance with health regulations, there will be a drive-through visitation from 5 to 7 Wednesday evening at Lux Memorial Chapel in Rantoul. Cars may enter from the west entrance. Graveside services will be at 10 a.m. Thursday at Hulse Cemetery, Gifford, where he will be laid to rest beside his wife. Louise Allen, Champaign. Louise H. Allen, 95, died Tuesday, July 28, 2020, in Champaign. In light of the restrictions on travel and gatherings currently imposed to reduce the spread of the coronavirus, there will be no memorial service. In lieu of flowers, please consider donating to the League of Women Voters, the University of Illinois Foundation, or the Alzheimer's Association. Morgan Memorial Home is assisting with arrangements. Condolences may be made at morganmemorialhome.com. Ward Barkus, Urbana. Ward Earl Barkus, 83, of Urbana, passed away at 11:13 p.m. Wednesday, July 29th, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana, after suffering a stroke on July 17th. Services will not be held at this time. Condolences can be sent to Joy and the family at 3102 Windstone Drive, Champaign, Illinois, 61822. Online condolences may be offered at RennerWyckoffChapel.com. Dennis E. Carter, Clinton. Dennis E. Carter, 66, of Clinton, died at 6 p.m. Thursday, July 30th, at home. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton. Sean Haas, Elkins, West Virginia. Sean Lee Haas, 56, Elkins, West Virginia, formerly of Urbana, passed away Sunday, March 29th. 2020. A graveside service will be held Saturday, August 8th, 2020 at 11:30 a.m. at Chatsworth Charlotte Cemetery in Chatsworth. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to the United States Department of Veterans Affairs. Condolences may be offered at owensfuneralhomes.com. Lewis Henson, Champaign. Louis Ray Lou Henson was born on January 10, 1932, to Joy Henson and Laura Faye Falconer Henson, and grew up on a small farm near Ok, Oklahoma, population 300. Located between Wagner and Muskogee, Lou had seven siblings: Alma, Bill, Jimmy Joe, J.D., Rosemary, Donald, and Kenneth. Rose and Kenneth survived. The Henson family asks that, in lieu of flowers, friends and fans consider a memorial contribution in Coach Henson's name to one or more of the following: Boys and Girls Club of Las Cruces, New Mexico, at 330 West Las Cruces Avenue, Las Cruces, New Mexico, 88005. Don Moyer Boys and Girls Club of Champaign, 201 East Park Street, Champaign, Illinois, 61820. Cunningham Children's Home, 1301 North Cunningham Avenue, Urbana, Illinois, 61802. NMSU Foundation Incorporated, Lou and Mary Henson, Endowed Scholarship, Post Office Box 3590, Las Cruces, New Mexico, 88003. U of I Foundation, Lou and Mary Henson Men's Basketball Academic Assistance Fund, 1305 West Green Street, Urbana, Illinois, 61801. Morgan Memorial Home, Savoy, was in charge of arrangements. Condolence may be made at morganmemorialhome.com. John Willis Santos, Champaign. John Willis Santos passed away at home in Kalamazoo, Michigan, after a brief battle with an aggressive cancer, surrounded by his immediate family on Thursday, July 23, 2020. He was born on May 26, 1940, in Wowanoc Township, Juneau County, Wisconsin, to Giles and Phyllis Schultz Santos. In lieu of flowers, donations could be made to the University of Illinois College of ACES for its study abroad program, 203 Mumford Hall, 1301 West Gregory Drive, Urbana. Please indicate that the gift is in memory of John Santos. Pika Funeral Home, Hillsboro, Wisconsin, is assisting with arrangements. For online information, go to PICHAFuneralHomes.com. A graveside service officiated by Reverend Dr. Terry Harder was held at the Valley Cemetery in Valley, Wisconsin at 11 a.m. on July 29th. Edward Sheehan, Muhammad. Ed Sheehan, 96, died Thursday, July 30th in Charleston. He was born December 17, 1923, in Ludlow, to parents Ed Buzz Sheehan and Vera Brown Sheehan. In accordance with his wishes, a private family service will be held. Memorials may be made to Our Lady of the Lake Catholic Church, 501 West State Street, Muhammad, Illinois, or Pheasants Forever, 1767 County Road, 2400 North, Thomasboro, Illinois. Condolences may be offered at owensfuneralhomes.com. Lillian Storm, Urbana. Lillian A. Cousin Storm, 93, of Muhammad, mother of Leslie K. Storm, passed away Thursday, July 23, 2020, in Urbana. Mass of Christian burial will be 11 a.m. Saturday, August 8, 2020, at St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic Church. Visitation will be 1 hour before the Mass in the church. Burial will follow in Oak Hill Cemetery, Taylorville. In lieu of flowers, the family requests contributions to St. Thomas the Apostle Catholic Church in Decatur. CDC guidelines will be followed. Masks are required. Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home and Cremation Services is in charge of arrangements. Condolences and memories may be left at gracelandfairlawn.com. Mary Sutton, Philo. Mary Sutton, 73, of Philo, passed away at 12:02 p.m. Friday, July 31st. At Champaign-Urbana Nursing and Rehab, Savoy. Private graveside services will be held. Fries Funeral Home, Sydney, is assisting with arrangements. Jennifer Thomas, Philo. Jennifer Jo Thomas, 45, of Philo, passed away at 8:30 a.m. Friday, July 31st. At Carl Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Funeral Mass will be 10 a.m. Tuesday, August 2nd at St. Thomas Catholic Church, Philo, with the Reverend Keith Walder officiating. Burial will be in Mount Hope Cemetery, Sydney. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. Monday at the church. Fries Funeral Home, Sydney, is assisting with arrangements. Memorials may be made to her Children's Education Fund in care of Philo Exchange Bank. Sally Dickerson Valentine, Huntington Beach, California, BSN, PHN, MNA, Sally Dickerson Valentine of Huntington Beach, California, was born in Decatur, Illinois, on November 3, 1946, and had lived in Southern California since 1975. She died of complications from an 8-month battle with brain cancer, glioblastoma multiforme, or GBM, on Tuesday, May 19, 2020. A celebration of life service is tentatively planned for later this year, should the current pandemic abate. Gayla L. Williams, Champaign. Gayla L. Williams, 61, of Champaign, died Thursday, July 30th, 2020, at Carle Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Walker Funeral Services and Chapel, 704 North 4th Street, Champaign. Daniel Wingler, Mahomet. Daniel J. Danny Wingler, 71, of Mahomet, passed away at 12:55 p.m. Saturday, July 25th, at Carle Foundation Hospital, Urbana. Mr. Wingler was born August 7, 1948, in Urbana, a son to Richard M. and Mary Libera Wingler. He was memorials. Memorials may be made to the Wounded Warrior Project. A graveside memorial service will be at 10 a.m. August 8th at St. Patrick Cemetery, Tolono. Free's Funeral Home in Tolono is assisting with arrangements. And continuing with another article from the front page, Jay Simpson, Jay's Take. Dads, it's time to step up. Single mother, two boys, low income, very little help. This was my life growing up in Champaign, Urbana. My mother, Yolanda Biggers, is the epitome of a strong woman. I witnessed her get us through hard time after hard time and never give up. Given some of the obstacles we were faced with, you would think giving up was the only thing left to do, but not for her. She made whatever sacrifice was needed, like missing meals so my younger brother and I could eat, working two and three jobs so she could afford to buy us clothes and shoes, and spending her last dollar to make sure I could attend any sporting event I had. It's sad to say, but single mother households are becoming normal, especially in the Black community. So many of our youth have had to or are currently growing up without a father. That can really damage a kid. Imagine being the only one out of all of your friends whose father isn't in your life. Embarrassed, ashamed, confused, these were just some of the emotions I felt as a kid, wondering why my parents couldn't make it work like everyone else. All of my aunts were single mothers too, so they would have each other's back if one ever needed help with the kids or around the house. I grew up with a lot of my cousins, and all we had to look up to was our mothers. They gave us great examples of what sacrificing was and how to really put the child first. Although we appreciated all of the lessons they taught us and love they showed us, there are some things a woman just simply can't teach. A father is needed. Which is why some young men grow up and don't know how to do certain small things, like treat a woman with respect, or know how to actually build a bond and spend quality time with their children, and not just buy diapers and a pair of shoes here and there. They've never seen it done, never seen their mother treated how a woman is supposed to be treated, never seen a man take care of business around the house, never seen a man love and protect. It is becoming a cycle for young Black men to be absent fathers. I believe some want to be there, but they just don't know where to start. It is up to men and active fathers, such as myself, to help break this cycle. We have to lead by example and not just by word of mouth. There was once a time when I wasn't the best father to my children. It wasn't because I didn't want to be. I just didn't know how to. Everything was so new to me. I was young and scared. To be honest, I knew I was responsible for a life other than my own, and I didn't know how to handle it at the time. I had to learn to be a father on the fly and had some difficult times along the way. But I wouldn't go back and change that experience if I could, because it made me into the wonderful father I am today. I know it won't be easy, but it is something that needs to be done. Children need both parents, and their mothers have been holding down the fort alone for far too long. It's time to step up, fathers. Jay Simpson writes for the News Gazette. His column appears Wednesdays, Fridays, and Sundays. He can be reached at jsimpson@newsgazette.com. And continuing with local news, an article by Kristen Allen, Inside Out, Illinois Distributed Museum, titled, Another Case of U of I's Hand in Innovative Technology. Sometimes a splash of serendipity is needed for an innovative idea to become a reality. This was certainly the case for Joel Stebbins, F.C. Brown, and Jacob Kunz when they collaborated to create the photoelectric photometer. Joel Stebbins was one of the early directors of the University of Illinois Observatory. Part of Stebbins' work was measuring the brightness of stars. In the 19th century, this was done through visual observations or by using photographs to calculate brightness. Visual observations were the least accurate, and while photographic methods were better, there was still room for improvement. Stebbins recalled at an awards ceremony, his wife would occasionally help him at the observatory. She noted it was a tedious process, and Stebbins commented that one day it might be done using electricity, which would make it faster. He recalled every so often she would ask when the recordings could be done with electricity. Through some lucky happenstance, a few months later, Stebbins was at a physics open house at the University of Illinois. He observed F.C. Brown's experiment where a lamp was turned on to illuminate a selenium cell. When the light fell on the cell, it would cause a bell to ring. Stebbins developed a friendship with the physics professor, and Brown and Stebbins worked to design a selenium cell that could measure a star's brightness and changes in light in space. This cell led to several discoveries and measurements, including the light curve for the moon, the 1907 lunar eclipse, and the magnitude of Halley's Comet. Stebbins was not completely satisfied with the selenium cell. The cells were not very sensitive, and it could only record bright astronomical changes. Another physicist on campus, Jacob Kunz, had been working on photovoltaic cells, also known as photoelectric cells. The photoelectric cells' electrical characteristics, such as voltage, varied when exposed to light and were more sensitive than the selenium cells. Stebbins worked with Kunz to improve what he had started with Brown. Kunz and a Stebbins photoelectric photometer became the most accurate instrument in photometry. The cells Kunz created were more sensitive than commercially made photoelectric cells and could detect fainter stars than the selenium cells. The new technology allowed for measuring the diameter and masses of stars, as well as discovering new stars previously unable to be detected. The Illinois Distributed Museum has online content about the innovations that have come from the University of Illinois, as well as self-guided tours of campus where you can view objects and buildings related to these innovations. Kristen Wilson is the Illinois Distributed Museum Coordinator at the University of Illinois Archives in the University of Illinois Library, and she can be reached at kllen3@illinois.edu. Going back to obituaries, I missed one. In Urbana, Carolyn Witter was born January 2, 1924. As the third child of Raymond and Carolyn Schluter in Kennesaw, Nebraska. She graduated from Kennesaw High School and Hastings College in Nebraska. Carolyn S. Witter died at home at 10:17 a.m. Monday, July 20th, 2020. No memorial or visitation has been planned at present. Online condolences may be offered at RennerWyckoffChapel.com. And a quick update on Restore Illinois Phase 4, Day 38. In Illinois, there were 180,476 cases, plus 1,639, and 7,503 deaths, plus 8. Champaign County, 1,464 with plus 16, 19 total. Illinois impact, statewide positivity rate remains at 3.9%. Key metrics, mostly down in Champaign County. New cases were up 16, but other key Champaign County metrics fell from Friday to Saturday. Active cases by 15 to 208. Hospitalizations by 1 to 13, and 7-day positivity rate by 0.1% to 1.7%. And continuing with sports, titled Reason to Shout, Illinois Men's Basketball. Expectations skyrocketing for Illini with return of both DeSunumo and Cockburn next season. Champaign. The power of a simple two-word phrase. Friday night, it was year three. On Saturday afternoon, it was I'm back. Two decisions that changed the course of Illinois basketball for another season. Io DeSumo or Coffee Cockburn pulling their name from the 2020 NBA draft would have been a boon for the Illini. Either one would have raised the team's ceiling. Both making the choice to opt out of the NBA draft and return to Illinois? Expectations now skyrocket ahead. Brad Underwood's fourth season as coach in Champaign. The idea of DeSumo and Cockburn returning together for another season was treated as a hypothetical, albeit a rather unlikely one, since both declared for the draft in April. The idea of that, though, had national analysts forecasting Illinois as one of the top teams in the country, I think. Saturday provided the proof in the pudding, as it were. Cockburn's decision to return to Illinois for his sophomore season, after DeSumo decided to do the same for his junior year, sent the Illini from not even under consideration in CBS Sports' Gary Parrish's top 25 and one into the number 7 spot. Stadium's Jeff Goodman made a similar move, vaulting the Illini to number 9 in his preseason top 50. It's been 16 years since an Illinois team entered a season with those types of expectations. The 2004-05 Illini checked in at number 5 in the preseason AP top 25. That team, of course, wound up playing for a national title. And that's exactly why DeSumo is running it back one more time. Turns out he had a little more unfinished business to address. DeSumo now has his sights set on a national championship. Perhaps his last unchecked box from the abruptly cut short 2019-20 season. You can't downplay Cockburn's decision to return. The mere presence of a 7-foot, 290-pound Cockburn, after all, prompted near wholesale changes at both ends from Underwood and the Illinois coaching staff. Changes that were, in no small part, responsible for the Illini turning 21 losses to 21 wins in a single season. But DeSumo leads the way, has since he emerged from a back room at the Jordan Brand store in downtown Chicago on October 19, 2017, wearing a white Illinois-branded polo and announced his commitment before Underwood had even coached a game with the Illini. DeSumo bucked the trend of the state's top players heading anywhere but Illinois, with the program falling on hard times. Did it again after his own breakout freshman season, when declaring he had unfinished business in Champaign and would withdraw from the 2019 NBA draft. Then once more Friday, when he announced he wasn't quite done in orange and blue. The dynamic of the 2021 Illinois basketball season has now been flipped on its head. Not quite a month ago, the latest from DeSumo was he had no intention of pulling his name from the draft, and Cockburn had left Champaign with workouts about to resume. Easy to see why Illini fans would be, well, uneasy about the coming season. just on the verge of getting Illinois basketball back to being Illinois basketball, and two steps back if DeSumo and Cockburn had both chosen to get on with their professional careers. Instead, the Illini will bring back four starters from last year's team that went 21-10, finished in the top four in a loaded Big Ten, and would have been back in the NCAA tournament for the first time since 2013, if, you know, the NCAA tournament actually would have happened. That's where the elephant in the room makes its presence known. The 2021 college basketball season isn't guaranteed. Now would be the time for Illinois basketball fans to let everyone they know that thinks the coronavirus is a hoax or thinks it isn't worse than the seasonal flu or hasn't been wearing a mask to pay attention. The Illinois basketball team will also have its most talented roster in 16 years. DeSumo and Cockburn, of course, lead the way. More experience and leadership will come from veterans Trent Frazier, Damonte Williams, Georgie Benashvili, adding a pair of top 50 guards to that core in Adam Miller and Andre Curbelo only raises Illinois' ceiling. And there's the unknown, but anticipated, debuts of sit-out transfers Austin Hutcherson and Jacob Grandison, and the idea of what a healthy Benjamin Bosman's Verdonk could supply. But that potentially transcendental Illinois basketball team, at least compared to those from the last decade plus, will be for naught if there's no season. DeSumo debuted a new hashtag, Let's Make History, Friday night after announcing he would again return. This Illini team could give them that opportunity. Help the 2021 college basketball season actually happen. Wear a damn mask. Scott Ritchie covers college basketball for the News Gazette, and he can be reached at sritchie@newsgazette.com or on Twitter at SRRICHEY. And in high school preps, area ADs get back to work. Questions remain, but scheduling at the forefront of things. Running out of time, but the gist of the article is there will be high school basketball, but there will be restrictions, masks, sanitation, and they're working out scheduling. That's about all I have time for today. This has been Dave with the News Gazette for Sunday, August 2nd. I look forward to reading with you again soon.